Thank you for joining us. The Dacus Report is on the air, ready to defend your religious freedom, your parental rights, and other civil liberties. And now, with the latest information, is your host, the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus.
The sanctity of human life has been a major issue in my generation. It's often been in the context, though, of dealing with the unborn being wrongfully killed, having their lives taken from them. And in states like New York are clearly moving in the wrong direction in that regard. But we're also seeing an attack dealing with people having their life support taken from them when they're not dead. They're still alive. We're going to talk about a very important case involving a toddler that we have taken before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're going to talk about this case in the second segment. But the first half of the show, we're really fortunate to have with us on the show someone who is, I have the highest respect for, former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Glad to be with you and with your listeners.
Now, folks, if, for those who may not be as familiar with you, maybe the younger generation, I want them to understand some of your background, Mr. Meese. You were with the Reagan administration, actually, when he was governor of California, and you served there in his administration, I think it was chief of staff or attorney general, correct?
I was with Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California, first as his legal affairs secretary, and then as the chief of staff on the governor's in the governor's office. And then in the White House, I served as counselor to the president, his chief policy advisor, and then in the first term, and then in the second term, I was the Attorney General of the United States. It's a great honor and pleasure to have had the privilege of actually working under the leadership of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, you are were a huge blessing to his administration, and one thing I really admire about you, Mr. Meese, is the fact that you don't just do your time and then just retire per se. You have been actively engaged and involved in policies and in forums. And in fact, you're serving to this day as chairman of the advisory board for the Pacific Justice Institute. So we have been in from the beginning, and I just really appreciate that. I remember when I called to ask you, and I thought, he's not even going to remember me. and you said, yes, unequivocally, yes, I'd be happy to serve as chairman of the advisory board of Pacific Justice. And I really appreciate the value you've been to our legal ministry and the work that we do as well. There's so many awards you've received, recognitions. Now, in the Reagan administration, you were involved, you were the attorney general, you were dealing with legal issues. I want to ask you right up front about how you think things have progressed or digressed with regards to the Department of Justice, the FBI, and specifically the IRS, for example, classic example. They went to war against organizations that had religious or political beliefs and values that they didn't like. This was during the Obama administration, and nothing happened. They weren't prosecuted. No one was fired because of it. That was the first example I can think of the court moving the wrong direction. What are your thoughts? Am I seeing this correctly, or do we have a major growing mistrust and corruption, if you will, in government in this regards?
Well, I think in terms of government, we have to distinguish between government and then others outside of government, because during the Obama administration, unfortunately, there was a great hostility and wrong actions by government at the same time as anti-Christian people on the outside were also waging war against Christians and Christian organizations and churches. So you mentioned particularly the government, and it was very unfortunate the way in which no action was taken against IRS, corrupt use of the IRS to literally persecute organizations that were constitutionally oriented or religiously oriented during that period of time. Fortunately, we have a very different approach by the current administration, where the president gave an executive order protecting religious liberty, and that was very carefully followed and very skillfully and effectively promulgated by as a policy of this administration by Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, who issued the regulations and set in motion activities by the Justice Department to correct what had been done in the previous administration.
Yeah, I have to admit, in the last 2 years, I haven't seen the bullying and attacks from the IRS against ministries and churches and Christian organizations like I did prior to that. I know we at Pacific Justice Institute, we received a letter saying that we hadn't turned in our 990, so we owed $5,000 penalty to the IRS. We had it filed electronically to make sure that wouldn't happen because we knew of the corruption that was taking place at the time. 9 months later, we got another letter from the IRS alleging we hadn't refiled for the year prior to that, saying we owed a $50,000 penalty. They weren't backing down. And then finally, they sent us a letter saying, we found out we made a mistake. Yeah, we do have them actually. And that's only because we stood up to them and we were going to be bringing them into court. But that is the kind of outrageous corruption that we saw. And yet people still, I think, to some degree, are still discouraged about some of the shenanigans they see taking place, like, for example, with the FBI, they're supposed to be neutral. I always think of them as being, you know, neutral, the law, we're a nation of laws, equal justice for equal, you know, equally applied. But I think a lot of people have a different perspective of the FBI and what they've seen and what's taking place. Is that skepticism justified, do you believe?
Well, I think for the most part, the answer is no. I don't think it's justified. I think the FBI today and the Justice Department generally under the leadership of President Trump has a very different approach to these kinds of matters. Now, there may still be some isolated situations because there were people that at the top of the FBI who were very corrupt during the last administration. Most of those have been weeded out now, so I can't say that there's, it's always hard to know whether there might be exceptions, but I think there's the Justice Department is really under new leadership and continues to be under new leadership with the appointment or the nomination, soon to be the appointment, of Bill Barr, who's an excellent man. So I think the correction is already in place, but there may still be some instances, and those are the kinds of things we have to be very wary of.
Okay, now let me ask you, that's really assuring to hear that. I'm glad you made that really clear. But what about actions recently that I've never heard of? I used to work for U.S. Senator Phil Graham in Washington, and there was some degree of respect for the system of laws and the branches of government and how things carry out. And yet we had a direct threat to have the State of the Union speech at least postponed and not allowed to for the president to address both houses of Congress in the chamber. As is customary, do you think that is just a blip of just like a one-time thing, or do you think we see a less of respect for the branches of government and the carrying out and respect for the branches of government pursuant to the Constitution? What's your take on this?
Well, I think that I hope it was a one-time only event, but I must say this is one of the most flagrant examples of a leader of a political party violating the Constitution that we've had in a long time. I don't think there's ever been a time when a president who sought to address Congress and both houses of Congress has been refused to have that opportunity. And it certainly is in contradiction of the Constitution, which actually commands the president to provide a message to the Congress and to report on the State of the Union. Now, it's true that some presidents have done it in writing, different presidents have done it in slightly different ways, but the idea that the Speaker of the House would refuse the president the opportunity to appear before a joint session of Congress is unprecedented, very anti-constitutional, and also I think it indicates a lack of respect for the office and an embarrassment to the Congress when the Speaker did that.
Yeah, and hopefully we won't see that happen again, and hopefully I think both sides of the aisle, I think, could hopefully learn from this moving forward, never to consider that in the future. And that's my hope. What about the cases that you see taking place that are dealing with, like, for example, there's the Baker case that, he was, it's still sort of up in the air where he was.